بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد just a brief kargozari pertaining to the Farideen of Darul Mazar doing the khidmat of deen in the United Kingdom. Alhamdulillah, there is a good proportion of students that have graduated from the Darul Uloom and returned to the UK for the khidmat of deen. The first challenge that they face is when they return to their hometowns, they are looking for an opportunity to do imamat, to give their services in the makatib, or any other opportunity for the services of deen. The first challenge that they face is that there is no opportunity for imamat. They will be placed on a waiting list for the makatib, or they will be offered a khidmat which they don't personally want to take part in. So the first initial stage is the greatest challenge. This is when they are shaking. Now, when their niyat and jazba is such that they want to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they face this first challenge, then immediately shaitan opens up many opportunities for them. And they are enticed. Certain, and some of our ulama unfortunately, they end up working for different businesses. Some even end up working in petrol stations. Some end up working in a superstore stacking shelves. The necessity is such, and their requirements are such, that they end up doing this. Whereas, alhamdulillah wa asatizai kiram, the nizam of the tarbiyat of the Darul Uloom is such, that there needs to be this jazba of hijrat. In the United Kingdom, alhamdulillah, there are many madaris, many, many ulama, a lot of work that is taking place. But just beyond the shores of the United Kingdom, Europe is a barren piece of land. Many, many countries and cities in Europe require ulama, require a'imma for the masajid, require asatiza for the makatib. So if this jazba is there within the students and this expectation is there, then inshallah we hope that when they return, if there is no immediate opportunity within their locality or vicinity, then inshallah very easily they will cross the shores of the United Kingdom, and where there is this barren land and huge need, millions of Muslims in Europe, more Muslims in Europe than in the United Kingdom, a very cosmopolitan community of Muslims in Europe, their requirements are far greater and far superior than the needs and requirements of the Muslims in the United Kingdom. Like in colleges and universities, they have career programs where they ask a student, what do you want to do? What interests you? So the options that they take of the subjects are based on their interests and their intentions. So similarly, we are students of the Darul Uloom. Alhamdulillah, it's good to have the intention to serve as an imam, as an ustad in the maktab, and have these intentions. But at the same time, if this is not available to us within our locality and vicinity, then we should not waste our isti'adad, our salahiyat. We should take the step of hijrat, make that hijrat, and benefit other communities. As far as the United Kingdom is concerned, I want to focus on four means. The masajid, madaris, makatib, and mashayikh. As far as the masajid are concerned, alhamdulillah, the a'imma are there, they are doing a khidmat. But there is a deficiency in the khidmat. If you look at the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjidun Nabawi fulfilled all the requirements and needs of all the people living in Madinatul Munawwara, Muslim and non-Muslim. So much so that Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also a prison. Captives were brought into the masjid and they were tied to the pillars of the masjid. Within a few days they would be given shahadat and they would come into the fold of Islam. Within the pillars of Masjidun Nabawi, there were ropes where dates and food of sadaqah were left, and that sadaqah was distributed from the masjid. So many, many compassionate activities were taking place from the masjid. One of the issues that we are seeing in the United Kingdom is the people's needs are growing day by day. If they are having disputes, they are having problems, they need advice, they are resorting to Google. And when they look and when they type in domestic help required, Google will take them to a non-Muslim organization. Any kind of a problem, they are typing it into Google and in the internet, and the internet is guiding them somewhere else. The greatest amount of Muslims are going to non-Muslims for help. And that's instilling doubt in their hearts. And they're returning that you're having these problems because you're a Muslim. And when they look at the list of options Google has placed before them, they'll find a Jewish version, a Sikh version, a Hindu version, but no demarcation for help for the Muslim. So this is one of the challenges that we are facing. The needs and the help and support required by the people, we are not catering for that. When it comes to the makatib, as our Asatidhai Kiram, may Allah reward them, they mention the makatib, they are our backbone. But yet now we see a trend in the United Kingdom. Every maktab wants to have a glamorous syllabus, the most colorful set of books, the most expensive set of books, printed in the United Kingdom. The paper is of this quality. So the makatib are evolving, and they are evolving in a manner where the glamour of the syllabus is more important than the content and the tarbiyat of the child. In the United Kingdom, the students, they start school from 8 a.m. The school ends approximately 3:30 up to 4 p.m. The maktab starts from 5 p.m. And most makatib will come to an end by 8 p.m. So on average, every child will have a day of 13 hours. Even a child of 6 years will have an average day of 12 hours. The asatiza in the makatib, 99% of them will complete a full-time job and then come to the masjid to teach in the maktab. They've done a 9-hour shift, 10-hour shift in their relevant positions. And now he's got a class full of children who he's now responsible to make their ta'aleem of and tarbiyah of. He himself is tired. The children that are in front of him are tired. Now he's got 7 or 8 different kitabs to go through because we have a very glamorous syllabus. And the glamour is there to what? Attract students? There is some kind of honor taken in having a glamorous syllabus. We as ulama, through the teachings of our asatiza and the tarbiyat of our asatiza, we have been taught that our maqsad is ta'lim and tarbiyat. Ta'lim and tarbiyat can be achieved without glamorous syllabi, without the colors, without the extents. As far as our hearts are in place, our intentions are in place, and our efforts are in conformity to the efforts of our kabirin, then this will have a huge impact. Today there is a huge trend. The marketplace, there are syllabi coming up on a monthly basis, being sold, money being made, at the expense of the children. So one of the things that we need to look at is that the maktab system must be kept simple and basic so that the students benefit greater from the company of the ustad and the tarbiyat of the ustad. In the United Kingdom, everybody will have heard possibly that there is a fitna at the moment of LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual and queer. It is now compulsory in every school to teach LGBTQ. It is a criminal offense to discriminate against LGBTQ. If a student goes to school and says music is haram, the teacher will ask, where did you hear music is haram? If the student says, my ustad told me in maktab, what is the name of your ustad? Where is this maktab? There will be an investigation taking place on the maktab and on the ustad for extremism. LGBTQ in schools, children from the age of 6 are being taught about being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual. And just last week, a new initiative, 7-year-old children will be taught how to touch themselves to feel different, male and female. Children are being asked in school at the age of 7 and 8, are you happy that you're a boy? Are you happy you're a girl? Do you want to change? If they say yes, it is not a requirement to take consent from the parents. The school will inform the relevant departments, the National Health Service will immediately release funds, and the procedure will start. So we are living in a very challenging time. So now we have to balance law, deen, and the tarbiyat and the challenge which is facing us. So for this, himmat is required. We have to tell our asatiza that yes, to say LGBT is haram and not part of our deen is permissible. You can say this. But you have to be careful in the words that you utilize so you do not discriminate. You cannot say anybody who is lesbian is A, B, or C. Anybody who is gay is A, B, or C. Because that becomes a criminal investigation and the discrimination. This is the state. Now we have Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Rahmatullahi Alayhi. When he visited the United Kingdom in the 1980s, he said to the people of the United Kingdom, "Aap logon ke liye yahan is mulk mein rehna haram hai. Jab tak ke aap apni aulaad ke liye inki taaleem aur tarbiyat ka intizam na karo." So we started Muslim schools. According to the usools of Dawat and Tabligh, apni jaan, apna maal. People made sacrifices. They weren't looking at the qualifications and the accreditations. They were just worried about protecting the izzat and the iman of their children. So these schools sprung up. In 2004, the first Muslim school, unfortunately in our town, the girls' Muslim school, was given a government grant. The government gave them money. And unfortunately, they took the money. Since 2004, we are in 2019. The development of that. What they did was, in order to have inroads within the Muslim community, they needed to have a faith which the Muslim community trusted and recognized. And they got that. And they used that as a means to dangle the carrot before our independent organizations. And they then, from dependent, they became independent. From independent, they again became dependent. They took the money of the government. Now these schools are springing up all over the country. And these people that are running these schools, they are given budgets of up to 60 to 80 million pounds at any given time. And what is happening in these schools? The population of the students are 100% Muslim. They can't have 100% Muslim teachers. There has to be a ratio of Muslim, non-Muslim. But the students are 100%. In the same school, the young children of primary age are reading, "My dad's name is Muhammad. My dad's friend is Abdullah. My dad Muhammad loves Abdullah. They sleep in the same room." Young children, primary school, so-called Muslim school, run by Muslim administration, but government funding, they are forced to give our children these books. So now, the next problem has started. Irtidad. About 6 weeks ago, one person came to see us, and he said, "Maulana, I have been sent by a third party. They are so ashamed that they want to remain anonymous. They've got a 14-year-old daughter who attends our school. She has said to her parents, 'I find Christianity more appealing than Islam.'" In another area, another episode. In the next town, another episode. These issues are cropping up across the United Kingdom. Irtidad. The focus from the Muslim community is too much onto education. About GCSEs, A-levels, college, university. Before, our girls were not going to university. Now, they are being encouraged to go to university. Senior ulama have been silenced. Their wives, their daughters, their daughter-in-laws are being employed at a salary of £25,000. They will not speak up against what is happening. So these are very challenging times. And wallah, it's a very lonely place. To stand up and stand up for the values that have been ingrained into us by these blessed people, it's a lonely place. This is why we need to look at our Islam. One of the things that we have seen But when an alim-e-deen is standing up for the truth, where others also recognize it to be the truth, but may not have the same level of courage, an alim will be utilized to chop the legs of another alim. Hasad, bughd, adawat, all ailments of the heart. And it is unfortunate when good work is taking place that is washed away by the evil efforts of other ulama. That is why it is so important. Mashwara, like it's been emphasized again and again, another fitna in the United Kingdom. Everything must be glitterous. Everything must have glamour. A simple mashwara cannot take place in a room, in a masjid, in a madrasa. It has to be in a restaurant with a lavish meal. And alhamdulillah, our asatidah kiram, may Allah reward them. The himmat comes from them. As we say, they are the engine, we are the empty carriages. They pull us. As long as we remain with them, they will pull us. So again, very challenging times when it comes to our makatib, madaris. And now we are losing our mashayikh on a daily basis. Just last week or the week before, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutara Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, the Khalifa of Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, passed away in Canada. These mashayikh are leaving. And they are irreplaceable. Hence it is so important that we remain with them and in their company. And we entrench their values and their teachings in us. So when they move with their engines, inshallah, they will drag us with them. May Allah give us all amal. Jazakumullah khair.